You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent report was released into the conditions of three prisons by the Office of the Inspectorate Corrections, finding low staffing numbers were straining conditions. These are different from the Independent Ombudsman's report, so that have been coming out in recent years and have been quite critical of prisons in Aotearoa. The report highlighted the difficulty facing mental health facilities, overcrowding and increased violence in prisons. Further to this, last week, some corrections officers called for prisoners who assault them to have their sentences extended. I spoke with Dr. Liam Martin from Victoria University about the report and about the corrections officers' calls. Here is Liam, do we reckon? Let's give it
These
a go.
Reports by the inspectorate have found that while the conditions in the three prisons they went to were adequate, staffing levels were causing long waiting times for rehabilitation programs. Is this sort of quite common in prisons in New Zealand, and is it detrimental to prisoners?
Yeah, I think in the background of these issues is a long period where prison numbers have been rising dramatically, and that's creating overcrowded prisons where resources are stretched. You know, more prisoners means less resources per prisoner, and you're just seeing kind of across the board, you know, the difficulty in providing services for record numbers of people in our prisons. So, for example, prisoner surveys suggest that around 40% of prisoners report not being involved in any work or education at all. And most prisoners report being in their cells for about 18 hours of each 24-hour daily cycle. So prison life is really a place where people are idle a lot of the time and confined inside their cells.
Is it sort of quite difficult to get the staff needed? Because I guess some prisons are quite out of the way, and it is seen as maybe a bit of a dangerous job.
Well, it is a tough job, and yeah, it is difficult to get the staff, to get trained staff, to get staff who know what they're doing. And, you know, these are people working under immensely difficult situations. You know, I think it's easy from the outside to criticise what's happening in prisons, but, you know, frontline staff are the ones who deal with this on a daily basis, you know. And, yep, you know, problems of staffing are really quite severe across the whole system.
I suppose along with this, mental health facilities are under pretty considerable strain, the report said. I'd imagine this is probably pretty widespread to all prisons in Aotearoa. What kind of effect is this having on prisoners' rehabilitation?
You know, I think pointing out the strain on mental health systems, both inside prison and out, is really important, you know. But I think the bigger picture point that I would make is the way that prisons themselves intensify mental health problems. You know, we're talking about people who are inside their cells for the most part, 18 hours of each 24-hour cycle. You know, what does that do for a person's mental health? You know, no matter what services you're providing, when you have somebody in a cell for most of their life, that's going to affect their mental health. You know, I mean, our prisons are also very violent places. At most prisons, about half the prisoners report having been assaulted during their current sentence in surveys. And, you know, so we've got people in their cells for long periods under constant threat of violence. You know, these are conditions that really intensify mental health problems and make it almost impossible to effectively deliver mental health interventions. I don't think prisons are the right place to be kind of helping people improve their mental health. You know, the kind of the basic conditions of the institution really push against that.
Oh, well, 'cause we sort of saw last year an announcement by Kelvin Davis into they were building a special kind of mental health facility at Waikerea. I mean, is this model better, or do you think it'll have the same kind of problems?
I feel very ambivalent about it. You know, on the one hand, we need to be delivering mental health services to people. And, you know, there are those who say that the deinstitutionalisation of our large mental health facilities you know, in the second half of the 20th century was really just a movement of people from mental health institutions into prisons, you know, and now prisons are the institution that hold, you know, the people with the most severe mental health problems in New Zealand. So, you know, you can see there the temptation, okay, how, you know, while we've got people, you know, that's where we need to deliver services. But as I've said, you know, I just think prisons are terrible places to improve people's mental health. The basic conditions of the institution intensify underlying problems. So, you know, the idea of kind of building mental health facilities into prisons, I think, is a very problematic one.
Further to this, I suppose it doesn't help their mental health is a lot of prisoners were found to have been moved quite far from their homes, you know, some being moved from the North Island to an Otago facility. How does this sort of affect them?
Again, I would point to this as a symptom of overcrowding. You know, when you've only got a few open spaces across the whole system, what it ends up being is people being moved around and people being sent away from their home networks of care and support. And this is critical. You know, we know from, you know, all the record points to the importance when people get out of those kind of family and community relationships. So it's really key that when people are locked up, we do everything we can to try to allow them to maintain those family and community relationships. And when we move people away, we sever them, you know, and that's the most critical resource post-release is those relationships. Those are the people who are going to help reintegrate, you know. And I'll just to point out that this is particularly severe for women because there's only 3 women's prisons across the whole of New Zealand, in the north in Auckland, in the south in Christchurch, and in the middle in Wellington. So women particularly often end up getting moved very long distances. When I visited Arohata prison last year, I was surprised to meet a woman inside from Auckland, you know. And that was because the Auckland women's prison was full and she had been moved the whole length of the North Island down to Wellington. You know, what lies in wait for her when she returns to Auckland? You know, will the people she needs still remember her, still support her, you know?
And the report didn't really touch on this, but we've seen kind of an increase in double bunking recently with these prison numbers are just going up and up and up. How detrimental is this?
Yep, you know, it's again a symptom of overcrowding. You know, about 40% of people in prison in New Zealand now are double bunked, you know, so they're sharing their cells with someone else. And again, you know, you're in your cell for 18 hours of the 24-hour daily cycle and you're in there with someone else. You know, I hope you get along, you know. And prisoners, you know, I've heard kind of prisoners talk about this in terms of, for all the problems of being in your cell, at least it can be a safe space, you know, a place to retreat and to, you can breathe a sigh of relief because you're not exposed to violence, you know, if you got your own cell. But when you're sharing it with another person, you know, you lose that kind of safe space. And I think that has kind of flow-on effects for other aspects of prison life too.
And moving on, last week there were calls from corrections officers saying that prisoners who assault them should have their sentences extended. Do you think this would actually act as a deterrent?
Do you know, I do really sympathise with corrections officers who I think kind of deal with the mess created elsewhere on a daily basis and are kind of working under conditions of physical threat, you know, and to a certain extent serve time themselves, you know, spending long periods in these harsh prison environments themselves. But I don't agree that kind of intensifying the punishment, extending the prison sentences will reduce violence. I think it's doubling down on the flawed logic that's got us into this mess in the first place. You know, we ask a very violent institution, a prison, to prevent violence. And I think that's a kind of fundamental contradiction in our whole approach, you know. Prisons are very violent places. Again, about half of all prisoners report having been assaulted during their current sentence. You know, they're also kind of exposed to institutional violence in the form of strip searching and other kind of invasive procedures. These are not institutions we can rely on to prevent violence, you know. So I don't think that kind of just further extending sentences or you know, adding to the intensification of the punishment is going to, you know, make our guards safer in the long term. You know, these people working on the front lines, I don't think that's the answer to their problems.
Because, yeah, I suppose, are prisoners more likely to lash out in a prison environment?
I do think that there's a range of kind of elements of prison life that do facilitate violence. You know, actually, I often think there's a circular relationship between the kind of control practices that prisons rely on and the interpersonal violence of the people in there. You know, like one of them is when prisons experience high levels of violence, one way they often respond is through long periods of lockdown, so extending the hours that people spend in their cells. Now you've got all these people in their cells, bored out of their minds, pent up energy, agitated, aggravated, and then when you open the cells, you know, you actually increase the risk of violence. So it's kind of having the opposite effect to what was intended, you know. I think that's kind of symptomatic of a more general problem, you know, where prisons are violent institutions that intensify violence rather than preventing them. They don't do what we want them to do, you know.
I mean, are there like anti-violence programs in prisons currently?
There is, you know, and there are people who have dedicated their lives to working in very intimate ways with, you know, people in prison to kind of deal with anger, deal with emotions, and to kind of, you know, navigate life without reverting to violence. And I do think that that's valuable work. I think there's valuable kind of violence prevention work to be done. But I think ultimately, prisons intensify violence. There's the basic conditions of the institution. So I just really don't want to stray from that point too much. And I think, you know, the best violence prevention strategy is sending less people to prison. You know, I think if you're trying to think about, okay, what should we do? I think it's actually cutting prison numbers, you know, and delivering some of those violence prevention programs outside in the community where people are kind of living under conditions that are much more conducive to personal change and personal transformation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.